I hope you enjoy this time. This evening we're going to sing lots of carols. We're going to sing all the verses of all the carols, so you'll get a really good sing this evening. Deep breath. Okay, I think we need to start with probably a bit of calisthenics or whatever they call it. So move your shoulders, please, backwards. Everybody do this. We're going to need this essential work for later on. Okay, arms out in front. Move your arms just out in front. Thank you. Fingers. Okay, one up, one down. Can you do that? And can you do this way and this way? Very good. One up and down. There, and then like that. Without hurting anyone, obviously. Right, let's start our evening service together. We are going to sing lots of carols, as I say, and we're going to start with O Come All Ye Faithful, all seven verses of it. So, you need to be really full of gusto, ready to sing, and enjoy the carols. Let's start by singing O Come All Ye Faithful. When the music starts, please stand and join us at that time. Sometimes during the evening, the music will just start and nobody will tell you anything. Just get up and follow everybody else, that will be fine. The readings, some people will come up and just read. It'll be a mix of readings and carols throughout the evening. Some will be introduced, some not. We'll see how we go. So, music group, thank you so much for preparation. Let's sing and stand and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but his only Son, who is at the Father's side, has been made known to us.
I'm going to do a short prayer, and we've got two readings. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We pray that your light shines through the darkness of the world. Help us to reflect your light, Lord, to those around us, so that they may know the true meaning of Christmas. Amen.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave them the name of Jesus.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, through you are small among the clans of Judah. out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. We're now going to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
I think we have a children's Christmas poem. Lucas, do you want to come and join us? Hold on, there we go. Good lad.
My home is full of happiness, my stockings filled with treats. My Christmas tree has twinkly lights. Mom's cooking us a feast. My ears are full of singing. My heart is full of joy. My nativity has a lost piece, a little baby boy. The Bible tells me of his life and what he came to say. My prayer is full of thankfulness, so remember this on Christmas Day. The Son of God came down to earth to teach us right from wrong, and spread forgiveness through the world. That day, true love was born. So we celebrate this day with presents, trees, and lights. We play fun games with loved ones and eat food that's really nice. For this day is the birthday of a precious little boy sent to save the world forever, sent to bring us joy.
The wise men visit Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and it rose and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When they had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, Where is this Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went out ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Lucas and Roger. Now, we are going to sing Away in a Manger. It may not be as you've sung it before, so I'm going to ask our music group and singers to go through the first verse and the chorus. And they're going to sing that, then we'll stop, and then we'll go through from there. So it's just the first verse and the chorus. If you listen to it, I'm not worried about the words, you know the words for the start. We will add some more words in later on. But let's listen to the group. Okay, so that was the first verse. Well done. Slightly different. And so the first verse you knew, and it's Christmas, the angels are singing, is a chorus we've introduced. And a bit later on, we have a verse of Go Tell It on the Mountain. Well, I think you'll know those words and the song and the tune for that. So we're going to sing all those together. So we're going back to verse one. I'd ask you to stand with me, please. And we're all going to sing this. You know the refrain now, and we'll sing together. Thank you. have to admit, I sang rather loudly that time. Well, I enjoyed that. I hope you did. That was really rather good. I've been looking forward to that all day. Right, where are we? Andrew. Thank you.
So let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this very special time of the year when we remember your birth into the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. How you loved the world so much that you sent your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we remember the different characters of Christmas. We think of the shepherds, the lowliest people that you first appeared to as the angels came and announced the good news. And they were out in the fields tending the sheep and the lambs, the very lambs that would be used in the sacrifice at the temple. And then they were instructed to go and worship the Lamb of God who had come into the world. Lord, help us to worship you, the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. We also remember the wise men who came with their treasures and laid them before King Jesus. Lord, help us lay all our treasures before you and lay our lives before you this Christmas. And we remember Mary and Joseph, instrumental in the Saviour's birth, and how they followed you. Although the plans seemed strange, Lord, they still were obedient to the end. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to you, whatever that may look like, whatever plans you may have. And of course, at the center of Christmas is Jesus in the manger. Lord, help us to put you at the center of our lives and the center of our worship this Christmas, so that you reign and rule. And that, Lord, you will take us to be with yourself when you come again. Help us to look forward to that day when you return in glory and power. So, Lord, continue to be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Later, and in answer to a question by Nicodemus, Jesus said, "I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son."
Thank you, Steve. In a slightly different speed, we're going to sing Silent Night together. Thank you.
Jesus will return. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
In Matthew verse 24, we read that the disciples asked Jesus when the end of the age would happen. In reply, Jesus said in verse 29, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man.
I'd like to ask you a question. See if we can do this. Okay, anyone can answer this question? Call it out. Who is this? It's indeed Ebenezer Scrooge. Indeed. Can someone tell me the three things that Scrooge was required to think about? Anybody? What was the first one? Christmas past is correct. The second one? Christmas present is correct. And the third one is? Christmas yet to come. I always thought it was Christmas future until I checked it out, and it's right. It's Christmas yet to come. I want to spend a few of the next moments, and only for a few minutes, just thinking about some of the stories around Christmas in a very similar term to this as well. The Bible has a lot to tell us. The Bible has been read so clearly for us this evening, and for which our thanks. And I want to reflect back on some of those passages and just draw our thoughts together about what Christmas is, how it all started, and what might yet be to come. So let's start by looking at the past. Well, our first reading this evening came from the New Testament, the book of John, in which we were told that the Word that is Jesus, was with God and made the world, he was there at the very beginning. He was there when everything was created, at the beginning of time itself. Verse 14 goes on to tell us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He came amongst us to show us how to live and to point us to God himself by dying on the cross in our place for our sins. Being born in a stable in the most humble of places helps us understand a little that he wanted to connect with ordinary folk like you and me. He didn't come with pomp and ceremony, and he didn't come as a royal baby to a palace. He was born ready to live amongst the people and to let his life be a great witness to God and an example for us to follow. And we have that in the Gospels. Our second reading this evening came from Matthew 1. And in this, it described how Jesus' miraculous birth took place and how this had been foretold in the Old Testament. And in Luke, we hear about the shepherd's visit to the baby. And then our third reading talks about the visits of the Magi, the wise men, and how they came to acknowledge and to celebrate Jesus' birth. Our fourth reading came from the Gospels of Matthew and from John, where Jesus is baptized and answers Nicodemus' question about being born again. In verse 16, which we've had referred to this evening, and if you're here this morning, was part of our sermon this morning. Verse 16, Jesus says, in one of the most often quoted verses in the Bible, "For God so loved the world." Who's the world? That's you. That's me. "That he gave his only son." Who is that? That is Jesus. "That whoever," again, that's you and that's me, "believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." What an amazing promise to make. You know, had Jesus not been born as a baby in Bethlehem in the way that he was, we wouldn't be able to accept him and accept that gift of forgiveness that God has given through him. Christmas now. Do you know the words Christmas are made of two words historically? Christ in the person of Jesus, and Mass or Eucharist, meaning the word celebration. Therefore, we can talk about Christmas as being the celebration of Christ. Some of you heard people say, and it's been in the posters last year around London, Christmas begins with Christ. Without Christ, there can be no Christmas. Every time you see the word Christmas, whether on a card or in the shops or online or wrapping paper, anytime you see it over the next week, and you may see some of that over the next few days, it should be a reminder for us of the true meaning of Christmas, a celebration of Christ, Christmas. And that is that celebration of Christ born to man for the purpose of putting things right with God himself. We remember his birth at Christmas and his sacrifice for us, for each of us on the cross at Easter, when he died in our place to take the punishment for the sin that was rightfully ours. We should have paid that price. Yet to come. Our readings moved on. Dickens' tale was published in 1843. And it was, but God's account of human history and its future in the Bible was written right from the very beginning of time. And we read in the book of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's when it started. Jesus was there when God created the world. Even our calendar is set by Jesus, becoming a man through infant birth. And again, this should remind us and be a constant reminder every time you use your calendar or write the date that Jesus was born. We use the terms like BC, before Christ. We use terms like AD, Anno Domini, or in the year of our Lord, which is how it's translated. And those are there to remind us. Every time you write the date, think about that. Do you know, some countries these days are trying to change that terminology. They don't want us to use BC or AD anymore. They want us to use the lovely terms called Common Era. Have you heard of this? BCE, instead of before Christ, becomes before the Common Era. And CE becomes the Common Era. But you see, there's a problem there for those countries around the world that want to change that and take it away from the Christian calendar. The date will still be the same. Whether you say 500 BC or 500 or 2200 AD or CE, it doesn't matter. It still links to the birth of Christ. If you want to look it up, look up Julian and the Gregorian calendars. I did. There's some fascinating stuff there. Is there a year zero? Does anybody know if there's a year zero or not? I'll tell you what, you can answer that one later. Come and tell me your views. How many times do you write the date? Just think about it for a minute. How many times do you write 2019? How many times have you written it this year? Do you know, every time we write that, we write the number of years since Jesus was born. Our calendar is written into the way we live. It's there to remind us that Jesus was born, as we do this Christmas time. The Bible is really clear, and we read this a bit earlier. Jesus will come again. Only this time, unlike we celebrate at Christmas, he's not going to come as a baby in humble circumstance. No, he's this time going to come as King of Kings, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And at that time, he's going to call an end to time itself. The Bible is really very clear about this. Again, if you want to know more, please come and talk, and we'll point you to those parts of it. In the last reading we had, and following his rising from the grave, we heard the account of Jesus returning to his Father, our God, and the promise of his return in the same way that he went. The Old Testament book of Nehemiah also links to this, and it predicts the day of the Lord, telling us that all peoples will be gathered together, and there we will be judged. He's going to ask us that question. What did you do with my son Jesus? When God pulls us together, that will be the question we will need to answer. A few years ago, there was a media advert. I don't know if you're into media adverts at all, or you take any notice of them, or they're in the background. Let's see if you can finish this one for me. The future is bright. The future is orange. Well, it must work then, mustn't it? Because you can remember that. Big global companies change over time and they become something different. But behind the scenes, quite often they're the same people. They've now become EE. And I learned the other day that EE stands for everything, everywhere. That's not really a global wish, is it, to dominate? But Orange through EE actually run most of the big networks in the background for our internet now. What about that advertising agency? What if they were to look at the Bible? What do you think they might come up with in a similar way? Well, it could be something like this. The future is certain. We will meet God in person. The future is certain. We will meet God in person. That might be a spin that an advertising agency will come on it, but it's very true. Let me just summarize some of the things we've said this evening by asking three questions. I'm going to ask what, so what, and now what? Just three questions. So firstly, what is Christmas? How do we summarize that? So Christmas is the celebration of God becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ, living amongst us as an example, and then dying in our place for the punishment of our sins. So what? Do you know, in Revelation chapter 3, we're told these words. Here I am. This is Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That door is the door to your heart, to your life. This is God's promise tonight to you and to me. And it's very personal. He wants you to accept that he has paid your punishment for the sin that you have done and committed, and that that has been paid. And he wants you to open the door of your life to him and accept him as your king. The Bible tells us this. There is no one righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. So that's what Christmas is about. That's the meaning of Christmas. Now what? How do we respond to that that we've heard, we've sung, we've listened to? How do we think about those words? Do they affect our hearts? Are they affecting yours? And how do we draw the Christmas message to each of us this evening? Do you feel that God is knocking on your heart or has been over a period of time and you don't know how to respond? I've got a little pack here to give you. And if you haven't got a Bible later on, please come and ask. We have those for you. And it has those Bible references in. And it will help you read more. The Bible also tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify you from all unrighteousness. What another amazing promise. And again, yet to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. This Christmas time, wouldn't it be nice to know that we are a child of God? We want you to know that real meaning of Christmas, and we want you to find out what God has planned for your life. And if you don't know what he's got planned for your life, again, please come and talk, and let's help you understand and point you to him. I'm just going to finish this section just by praying and helping us think through some of the words we've heard. If you want to pray this, pray it quietly in your heart, and then we're going to sing a song after that. Let's pray. Father God, I know that you have sent your Son to be born as a baby and live a life that shows me how to live. Thank you that I can remember his birth at this time of year. I acknowledge that Jesus lived and died, paying the price for my sin, and he rose again to be at your side. I ask forgiveness now and freely give my life to you, accepting you as the King of my life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that for the first time or have re-prayed that, please come and talk afterwards. We'd love to talk to you about that. Soon it will be 2020, not many days till that time. I wonder what the significance of 2020 will hold for us, each of us in the room. Please don't walk away from this evening without knowing the answer to the question that we posed earlier. And these questions: what is Christmas? So what? now what? Let's sing another song. We're going to sing Once in Royal David City, so let's prepare to stand. Thank you. Standing, we are going to sing another song to finish, another carol, and it will be Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a really good one to finish on. But please, when we've done and we've finished, please come through this door. We have lots of mince pies, and you're not allowed to go home until they're all finished, so please do come back. We've got lots to eat. Let's sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
remain standing just for a moment or two longer. And a round of, why not? Let's give everybody a round of applause. You beat me to it because I wanted to say thank you to our music group. Thank you to all those who read this evening, both old and young, and for getting involved in our Christmas carol celebration this evening. And thank you for coming. The words of that last song at the end reminds us, born to raise the Son of Earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Father God, this evening as we come to you, we have enjoyed singing, we have enjoyed being together. And Lord, we ask that if you have spoken to anyone here this evening, that Lord, as you touch our hearts, would not let us go away unless we know you personally. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for taking us on our way later. Lord, we ask for traveling mercies. Keep us safe, we pray, as we leave. And we ask your thanks on the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name, we say, Amen.